Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
The gay marriage debate has been heating up in recent weeks as it becomes increasingly clear the move in federal parliament to legalise gay marriage is heading for a defeat. Quite simply, at the end of the day, the numbers just won't be there to pass it. Mind you, I don't think this will be the end of the push for gay marriage. And I think it presents a great challenge to the Christian community about how it engages with this very vexed issue. And I wonder what you think of how this debate has been conducted. I'll be frank, I don't think either side has always covered itself with glory. Too often, it seemed that the Christian community hates both the sin and the sinner. Those backing gay marriage have been too often inflammatory, abusive. Surely there has to be a better way, because, as I said, this debate won't go away. Are there ways that the Christian community could better represent the way of Jesus in how it engages on gay marriage? Over just this last week, I've spoken to two young Christian women who don't support gay marriage, but who've hated the way it's all been argued over. Although the move in federal parliament for gay marriage seems doomed for now, this week there'll be an important discussion held on the issue, chaired by a good friend of Open House, minister and commentator Carl Faes from Olive Tree Media. It's a national webcast this coming Tuesday night from 7:30 p.m. 200 churches have registered to take the stream of the webcast. The interesting panel: John Anderson, former Deputy Prime Minister; Christopher Pearson, columnist for The Australian; sexologist Patricia Wirrakoon; and Alan and Helen Meyer, who joined us on Open House for our marriage series last year. The webcast is hosted by the Australian Christian Lobby and, as I said, chaired by Carl Faes. Carl, welcome back to Open House.
It's great to be back with you again, Lee. Thanks for having me.
Carl, a direct question. Is the church homophobic?
That's a great question, because it's aimed at us on an ongoing basis. There is a small percentage of the church that really you'd have to say are. And it's not just the Australian Christian Lobby or anybody standing against same-sex marriage. All of us have seen press photos and web photos of people holding up signs about, you know, fags go to hell. I mean, and that's a disgrace. But the vast majority of the church do not stand there in that space. The problem for the church is, how do we clearly make a statement about what we think is a reasonable kind of way to live morally and biblically? And how do we do that clearly? And there are many people who basically want to say to the church, if you don't agree with this lifestyle of mine, you're being phobic about me. Now, I don't think that's the case. I think what we're trying to do is to say the Bible has a number of positions that the rest of the community don't hold. Now, Lee, I know about lots of people who live together before they're married, guys and girls that choose to live together. We don't agree with that, but we're not phobic about it. We just don't agree. If we were asked, we would say, you know, a sexual relationship between two people is best left for marriage. Now, nobody holds to that, but nobody calls us phobic about it. It's just the position that we hold. But in this place, there is a sense that if you disagree, almost that is the kind of catchphrase. I don't think the church is phobic.
Carl, why is this a moral question? And why isn't it not a question of equality?
Well, it's interesting, because I think the Bible is quite clear, even though there are some commentators that do serious damage to biblical theology. The Bible is quite clear that this is not a lifestyle that God wants for people. Just like a number of other things that God doesn't want for humanity, this is one of them. And the Bible's clear on that. And the problem is there are lots of people who kind of want to say either, no, God's actually happy with everybody and God loves everybody, so God is going to love you no matter what your orientation. There are others that kind of want to pigeonhole the Bible that says, well, this is almost the worst sin. This is the biggie. This is the bad one.
Yes,
so if you fall for this, you're in a lot of trouble. And like, neither of those places are true. The Bible, it doesn't like people who are greedy or those who act despicably towards people within their family or their wider community. The Bible's strong about both of those as well. And the problem is that we end up in this place where it's almost seen like, well, this is the big one we stand against, which isn't actually the case. I think the problem is the problem around the same-sex marriage is that it's not viewed as a moral problem. It's viewed as a justice problem. And therein lies the problem for many generations, younger generations within the church, like the two young women you talked to this week.
Feel very passionately about it. On both questions, you know, they don't support it and yet hate the way this is argued.
And part of the problem is if you go back in the 70s and 80s in Australia and probably across the world, but let's talk about Australia, justice became a big issue for the church. Justice for people overseas that are in desperate need, justice for people who don't have clean water, justice for people who are taken into sexual slavery. And the church discovered justice. And there's a couple of generations of people that have come through, and justice is a key word for them. And suddenly when they start talking about this same-sex marriage and they go, well, this is a justice issue, everybody goes weak at the knees because it's a bit like, oh, we can't be unjust.
Yes.
And it's not a justice issue because in Australia, more so than America or anywhere else, in Australia, there is justice for couples who choose to live this way and want their relationships recognised by the government. You have every right that everybody else has. All the community is saying is, you know, but we do want to hold marriage for kids, for our family, as being between a man and a woman, that's best.
And yet that's not a right that the Christian church says they should have.
Well, that's right. And I think, again, can I just say, Lee, one of the discussions in this is it's a bit like, well, the church is generated by the Bible. Because the Bible says that same-sex couples can't be married, the church is trying to generate onto the wider community a biblical value. We're a secular community, not a Christian community. Therefore, you as a church cannot generate onto us your values. And in essence, I say, yeah, you're right.
That's true, too.
That's true, absolutely true. But what we're saying is there's more to it than that. What the church is saying, yes, we are informed by a biblical worldview. Yes, we are. But we also think that this is a better way to live. We think it's better for the community. We think it's better for kids. We think it's better for families. We think at every level, and therefore, because it's better at every level, like, for instance, the church doesn't want homosexuality outlawed. It wasn't that long ago in Tasmania it was. And if it was still against the law somewhere in Australia, I would be one of those who would come out and say, we should change the law. Because it may not agree with my morality, but it's not something that's illegal.
Yes,
I don't think that I can generate my morality into a legal situation for a gay person if that's the way they so live, because we live in a secular country. But I think there's a line I can draw where I say, you know, I actually think this is better for families and kids and we should hold on to it.
Why do you think God doesn't like homosexuality?
Well, here's the interesting question. I think what God wants is for us to function fully in life and fully be completed as people. And what God is saying, that's not the way you were designed. That's not the way relationships were designed. And we function kind of less fully in that situation. There are plenty of people who have this view that, you know, every person that's gay is destined for hell, and that's what the church thinks. The church doesn't think that. I heard an interesting piece by Tim Keller, who's a Christian writer and leader in America. And he was asked that question, will all gays go to hell? And his point is, he said, look, God, as I just said, God wants us to function fully in life. And that's not the best way for us to flourish. But he said, you know, every time Paul in the New Testament writes, you know, that God is against this and that, you know, homosexuality often ends up in the same sentence as people who are greedy.
Yeah.
Now, the point is, God is just as angry with rampant greed and self-interest as he is with gay relationships. And the problem is, though, as Tim Keller said, and it's a brilliant piece of insight, if we're acting immorally sexually, it's usually fairly obvious to us and to other people. When we're greedy in an Australian community, it's not quite so obvious. And therein lies the problem. Because it's easy to kind of pick that out and go, there it is, there's sexual sin. There's greed. Ooh.
Shades of grey.
Well, you know, and we are greedy. We are greedy, self-interested people. And God stands against that as well.
Yeah.
And that doesn't mean we're automatically going to hell because we're gay, nor because we're greedy. But God is saying neither of them make us flourish.
Although it's hard to argue against equality in anything in this day and age.
And equality says, you know, equality says that everybody ought to have a fair go. And our government is making sure that through the relationships registered across this nation, everybody gets a fair go. What a number of Christian groups are saying is that every kid deserves a fair go as well. And a fair go for every kid is a mum and a dad within a family? Now, look, it's a difficult question because there are older couples that don't get married and aren't going to have kids. There are people who can't have kids. Does that mean their marriage is anything less? No. But a marriage is designed, as it were, between a man and female, a male and a female, because the possibility of kids is built into that relationship. And that's the thing we want to hold on to.
And yet gay people can adopt.
Yes, they can. And you know, there's all sorts of discussions and arguments about that, which I don't want to get into. What I'm saying is I'm actually with those that says, you know, I think we can draw a line here and it's good for our community.
How have you reflected on how this debate has been conducted on both sides, really? As I said, it hasn't been one in which either side has covered themselves with glory.
And the vitriol is just awful.
Yeah.
And one of the problems is that, if I can say, for those, and I know both sides have acted poorly, and that's demonstrated all over the place. But one of the problems at the moment is we live in a community where it's almost not acceptable to have a view against same-sex marriage. It's almost just not acceptable. In certain areas of the media and in our community, you cannot get up and say that without seriously being shouted down, called a homophobic and a bigot. And they're not. They're not homophobics and bigots. They just have a view that's different. And one of the ways that people are seeking to win the argument is to be basically the most vitriolic. And one of the problems I think in all of this is, and this is what I think certain leaders in the church are fighting against, and it's hard to get a word in on this, is that it's inevitable. That's what you're told all the time. A, the community all wants it. There's a majority of people that want it. I don't know that that's the case. No. Certainly that's what the Australian... Why do you think politicians have in the last week voted 4-2 against, with one abstaining, not to put this forward? Because they know that in their electorates, that's not what people want. Now, I don't know where some of these figures come from. I don't know the surveys they came from. But what the surveys don't seem to match up with community values. For all the people that will ring in and disagree violently with what I've just said, that seems to be the case. And that seems to be the case around Parliament. This actually, I think, stopped on its roll, as it were, when Julia Gillard said to all her cabinet, go home and find out what the people in your community want and come back and tell us. And when they did, the result was not what was expected. And that has changed the whole kind of view. And there's actually a move back, I think.
How else and where else has this played out in the world? Because we can be very insular in how this debate is being played out in Australia. What's the experience elsewhere?
Now, I'm not an expert on this, Lee, but I can tell you about two places that I know of. One is Canada, and the other is in Denmark. And in both those places, there's some really interesting things happening. For instance, Denmark got same-sex marriage 10 years ago, and it was kind of said, well, you know, same-sex marriage, that's the only thing that's important. Churches won't be forced, et cetera, et cetera. A lot of what's being said here. Do you know, in Denmark, in the last short few weeks, it's basically been told, churches have been told that you cannot deny same-sex couples the opportunity to get married. You cannot use your conscience. In other words, it's gone from, well, only if you want to.
It's a big change from this debate, isn't it?
Legislated. Canada is the same thing. If I can read some pieces, I've seen that within 5 years of marriage being redefined in Canada, an estimated 200 to 300 cases have been brought against individuals, mostly Christians, who have opposed same-sex marriage in the public sphere. And it's not that they're just being shouted down or vitriolic statements. They're taken to court. And there's this, it is, as awful as it sounds, there is this creeping reality that says, once you get this, that's not the end. And the other question, and I know, again, this is fairly controversial, but another question is the whole, well, if love becomes the definer of marriage, and if, you know, as Penny Wong says, I know what my family's worth and my love for my kid and my partner is just as important as to a man, male and a female. I understand what she's saying. But if that's the definition, love is just the definition, how do you stop anybody else, Lee? What is the argument against a man and two women being married if love is the defining key? Now, there are Greens like Sarah Hanson-Young who's come out and said, no, it's just two people. But on what basis is that made? There really isn't a logical basis to say that that's the case. There's a bit of an ongoing redefinition that wants to happen. In Sydney, just two months ago, there was a Sydney Writers Forum. You can go to the ABC website for the Sydney Writers Forum and listen to a panel of gay writers talking about gay lifestyle, including same-sex marriage. One of those panelists is a guy called Dennis Altman. And Dennis Altman actually talks in the panel about monogamous relationships. Now, we all think, well, marriage is one man and one woman, or, you know, if it was a same-sex couple, just to themselves, and that monogamy, just having your one partner and committed in life to your one partner. And the assumption is that's what the activists want.
Marriage.
In marriage. That's what they're focused. But Altman says this on the panel. One of the things about gay male culture is that it is not a monogamous culture. All of the evidence that we have suggests that monogamy is a myth. Now, what is Altman saying? Altman's saying he doesn't want marriage in the way that you or I or your children or your friends want marriage. And I actually think one of the problems in the community is Joe Average living out there in suburbia, you know, whether it's Blackburn in Melbourne or, you know, in the back blocks of Sydney somewhere, they kind of think, well, here's this nice couple that have been there together for years who are committed to each other and they should be able to marriage. What Dennis Altman is saying is that is a myth in gay male culture. In other words, he actually, in this whole, if you listen, take my word for it, listen to it, he argues that what they want to do is redefine what a marriage relationship is, because a monogamous ongoing relationship doesn't work in his mind, so therefore we need to redefine it. Now, do you think that average Joe and Mrs. Joe in the Australian culture wants that to be the definition of marriage? I don't think they do. And I think part of the problem is we're being sold an idea of same-sex marriage, which is not in the mind of those who are trying to sell it. Keep in mind as well, Lee, that the actual active homosexuals in our community is probably 2 to 3%. 3% would be the absolute maximum. Whenever this has been passed in anywhere in the world, less than about 10 to 12% of couples waiting to get married actually get married. In other words, this whole argument, this whole push is about 0.2% of our, not even 2%, 0.2.
So why is it happening? Why is it causing such heat?
Well, it's happening because it's the whole idea of we want to be accepted like everybody else, and this is the sort of next vanguard to be accepted. It's causing such heat because the church and other leaders within the community basically won't lie down and play dead. So in other words, they come out and say, look, this is equality. Everybody wants it. It's the right thing. Love is the defining feature. You should say yes. And the church goes, no, we don't want to do that. And that's what generates the heat.
So what are you expecting this discussion on Tuesday night to achieve? And how are you hoping it's going to be conducted?
Well, I'm hoping it'll just have some good, solid input, which will give the Christian view of marriage and why the church is not keen to allow same-sex marriage. Not because we're bigoted homophobics who are against people who are gays, no. Because we're actually for kids, for marriage, for the community, for the future. And we want the Christian kind of community to think through some of the issues that we've talked about this evening. And the reason we want to do that is because I think they're not heard, Lee. I don't think that some of the things we've talked about are heard. Most people think these two nice older couple of men who've been together for 20 or more years are going to happily get married and live together, and that'll be the picture across our community. That's not the picture across the community, and that's not all they want.
So 7:30 Tuesday night, where can people catch it?
Well, you can actually go to marriagewebcast.acl.org.au, marriagewebcast.acl.org.au, and have a look on the site. Now, you said earlier there were 200. That's actually moved on. It's closer to 400 now across the country. So basically, if you go there, unless you live in the back blocks, there's a good chance in a metropolitan area there'll be a church near you, and you can look up on the website and it'll show you where the cast's on.
Carl Faes, always great to talk. Thanks very much indeed for coming in.
It's been a pleasure. Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. Thanks to Christian Super and Real World Technology Solutions. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.